It's very good to be with you. I have a scratchy throat, so I'm going to try my best. Can you listen? Can you hear? I mean, you can listen. You can choose not to listen, but can you hear? You can hear. Okay, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, let me just quickly say, I'm in the AM congregation. Just mentioning that. And we're a great bunch, eh? I'm just saying. And yeah, I come from Weinberg congregation. Ross Lahana, people know Ross Lahana. Ross was my senior pastor, senior elder. Taught me all I know. And then I got a guy a little bit younger than him called Estian van der Merwe. And he took over from Ross. I'm echoing now, it sounds terrible. And I don't know what's wrong, but I know something's wrong. And then I came here and I got Hannes. And Hannes is 12 years younger than my youngest. So I submit to that too. So my children have all made a little pledge. They said, Dad, seeing you submit to all these young guys, well, look, it's time. You submitted to us. So I said, you have the wrong perception. Now let me explain. I want to give you a definition of perception. You know what perception is? When you hear something and you think that it could be something else. This little boy is in school, and every little boy in school, his name is always Johnny. And he's sitting a bit miserable on a Monday morning, and his teacher says to him, Johnny, what's wrong with you? You look very sad and miserable. So he said, Miss, I don't want to scare you, but my dad said, if my grades don't improve, somebody's going to get a hiding. That's called perception. So, of course, the teacher was very nervous. No. Perception. He felt he was nearly free. And sometimes with the things of the Spirit, we feel things. Now, we don't have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scripture. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us understand the book. Jesus said, you do that. Jesus is the living word, and we've got the written word. If you read the word, it's all about Jesus. And the Spirit has been given to us to enable us to know him. And that's what I'm hoping to get across tonight. That just check the time. 5 o'clock. Only 5 o'clock. Jeez. Yeah, the night is but young, as we say. When we were Philistines, we wouldn't go out at this time. It was too early. You'd go out about 9:30. Now, when I'm a Christian, I go out now and get home at 9:30. Yeah. So we're introduced to the Holy Spirit in the second verse of the Bible. In the second verse in Genesis chapter 1, it says this, and the lady on the AV can do it for me. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right in the beginning, verse 2 of the Bible, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. And we've got to be, we must remember he's not an it. You know, I hear people pray, you know, when it comes. If you call me an it, bro, I'm going to be offended. It's going to be no perception there. I'm going to correct you. And he is God. And some of us have had experiences that, or we've been pushed into having an experience of God that has put us off a little bit. So we want the Holy Spirit. We want him, but our experience doesn't enable us to actually press in to get more because we've had a bad experience. Those are the people who are the lunatic fringe. They are out there. They are out there. I've said they should go to the Kellogg's Christian Center and Pastor Albrand can look after them because they flakes. They. you got to be quick, eh? You got to be quick. No, but they are those. The extremists who push things, who make things happen, who try and engineer things. We can't do that with him. He's God. He does what he wants to do. And then you get the other extreme where, you know, don't talk to me about the Holy Spirit, because I was told in the first church that I was saved in, a good old traditional religious church, I used to say they're so narrow-minded. They were so narrow-minded you could look through a keyhole with both eyes. And you mention the Holy Spirit and people, ooh, ooh, ooh. And one lady actually said to me and my late wife that if we spoke in tongues, we would probably get divorced. That's the other extreme. But somewhere in the middle, there's the Word and the Spirit. The extreme without the Spirit, they dusty, dry, boring. They have an hour meeting. There's a great preach. It's theologically absolutely perfect. As I said upstairs with the elders, I'm not a 3 points and a poem guy, but you get 3 points, and you know, it's like a savanna, and it's dry, but you can drink it. You know what I mean? It's all truth. It's all truth, but it lacks something of oomph. You know what I'm saying? Then after the meeting, they ask you, why aren't you excited? Well, I'm excited about the truth, but I need the Spirit to excite me about the reality of the truth. And then you get that other fringe where Pastor Albrain is, and it's just the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. And they hardly ever use the Word, and so they become flakes. And that's the fringe that everybody looks at and says, this charismatic thing is a load of codswallop. Nonsense. But he was with us from the beginning. He was at creation. He was there. What a wonderful introduction. You know, he stepped onto the scene when earth was being formed, when the earth was being formed. So I'm not a Greek scholar, but I do know a little Greek. And he's got a little cafe down on the corner near me. But when it says this, the earth was formless and empty, darkness with us, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the deep. And I looked up that word hovering, and it says he was brooding over something that was going to be formed. Something was going to happen. You must understand, there wasn't chaos before the earth was formed. There was cosmos. There was order, but it hadn't been put into the proper order yet. Do you understand? It wasn't a mess. God doesn't make messes. And so the Spirit was hovering, was brooding over that. I likened that to Luke chapter 1, verse 35, where it speaks about Mary, and the angel said, when she said, you know, you're going to be with child. And she said, but how? How will this be? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will call the Son. Overshadow. He was going to overshadow. He was going to brood over Mary. The Holy Spirit was going to do that. And he was going to impregnate her supernaturally. And she was going to be with child. And the Holy Spirit wants to brood over us and impregnate us with the things of God, so that we awaken to the realities of God by the Spirit. No other way. It can't happen another way. It cannot happen another way. Because the Bible says those without the Spirit of God do not understand the things of God. So the Spirit of God is essential to the well-being of our Christian beings. I like that, the well-being of our Christian beings. Yeah, there was a power that was going to be released. The Holy Spirit was going to do what only he could do. Only he could do that. And he began to work with the Father and the Son, and they began to form, put things together and make the earth, and they created this earth. And he said to Mary, the angel said, he'll overshadow you. And Mary was with child. And, you know, we know that story. We don't have to go there. Formless means there was no shape, no real substance. Empty means empty, producing no effect, useless. In the Hebrew, it means an indistinguishable ruin. It was there, but it was going to be formed into something better. Darkness, no light, which in turn means no life. It was an abuse of absence, sorry, of moral values. That was the darkness. And over the surface of the deep, then the deep was just this bottomless whatever it was. And God began to work. There was this stillness. Nothing was happening. And sometimes in our lives, nothing seems to be happening. But the Spirit of God suddenly begins to brood over us. Have you had those times? You know. That's the time we've got to be sensitive and open our hearts. You see, we shouldn't pray, and I'm guilty just like you. We shouldn't pray, come Holy Spirit, because he's here. He says to Michael and Gabriel, what are they asking now? I'm there. Please come. No, I'm there. I'm with you. I promised I'd never ever leave you. I'd never ever forsake you. I'm not just going to be with you. I'm even going to be in you. Please won't you come, Lord? Oh my word, won't you teach them something? That's what the word comes from heaven. We've got to remember that he is with us. Where's God the Father? Little exercise. Where's God the Father? If we could make the three into three. Three in one, one in three. Not you. You know, you've seen this before. Have you? You have, eh? You have, eh? Yeah, you have. Where's the Father? He's on the throne. He's in heaven. What's he doing? He's ruling. He's the Father. He rules over everything. Where's the Son? At his right hand. Why is he at his right hand? Because his right hand is power. There's power in the right hand of God. Jesus at the right hand praying for us right now. Praying for you, praying for me. Where's the Spirit? He's on the planet. He's with us. Now you can't split God. That's the mystery. He's three, yet one, and one, yet three. But in the Old Covenant, it was all about the Father. And then the New Testament, the New Covenant, so it's about Jesus. And Jesus walks the earth for 33 years. Then he says, look, guys, I'm going away. I'm going to send one just like me. He's not just going to be with you. He's going to be in you. He's going to be in you. So when we say, oh Lord, won't you come? I'm there. What more do you want? What we must pray is, Lord, here I am, and I'm not quite sure how to open my heart and make less of me so there can be more of you. Because you know what holds us back? A little bit of fear. Because we've seen the lunatic. I'm sorry, I'm just pointing that, so I'm not pointing anybody in particular. I'm just pointing. This is the conservative, and these are the lunatics, sorry. But it's that fringe. And you guys, I mean, look at you, be proud of yourself. But we've had those experiences, and so those are the things that kind of put us off, and we feel things, hopeless, impossible things, but something began to happen. The Spirit of God began to move. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, who is Jesus, and Father began to move, and they created our beautiful, fruitful earth. And in verse 26, the Bible says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. What is the likeness of God? How are we like God? Well, if you look at Stefan, you think, well, maybe he's an Old Testament prophet. Because, you know, they're all depicted with beards. And I could be Eli, because the Bible says of Eli, when he fell and broke his neck, he was a man who was heavy and old. I could be Eli. Do you know what I'm saying? What is the image of God? The image of God is the Spirit of God in us, revealing Jesus through us. And he can't reveal Jesus unless you've got the Word in you. If you don't read the Word, he's got nothing to reveal Jesus about. You've got to have the Word. It's the Word and the Spirit. You can't have one without the other. Old people, they'll know the song. You young guys think, huh? We know things, young people. We know things. Yeah. And so that's what happens. And that's what happened with us. Who knows the band Delirious? Great band. Oh, let me tell you. I went to Toronto in 95, I think. And I went to a conference, and we booked into this hotel, my late wife and I, with a couple of guys from our church. And there, these young guys were there with their hair all over the place. And, you know, so I went to the one guy. His name is Martin Smith. I don't know him. I didn't know him. He's the leader of the band. I said, gee, Spirit, you want a hairbrush, China? Your hair's a... And then that night, he was on the stage performing. Anyway, they sing a song called I Found Jesus. Theologically, that's incorrect. Because Jesus was never lost. He found us because we were lost. And how did he find me? How did Jesus find me? Did you know me before I was saved? No. So I was a good Philistine. I wasn't a bad Philistine like some of you. I was a good Philistine, but I was a Philistine. And God began to speak to me in George, of all places. My late wife got saved in George, 1974. In fact, what's the date today? 28. 4 days ago, 51 years ago, I committed my life to Christ in Port Elizabeth. But the Spirit of God found me, began to convict me. That's what the Bible says he will do. He will come and convict me of my sin. And so that feeling that, hang on, things, I'm not doing it right. If you watch rugby, who watches rugby? Oh, yes. Who doesn't watch rugby? We're going to pray for you guys afterwards. In any sport that's involved with team, and you know the referee is, he blows the whistle and he says the guy hates you. And you, what did I do? I mean, I don't know. He knows exactly what he did, but it's all this. Me. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is like the referee in our lives. And when we go offsides or we make a foul, do a foul, he blows us up and he says to us that. And then we say, me? Me? You've seen especially the props, you know, the props. If you've ever played front rank, I was one at school. They said to me, what position do you play? I said, I don't know. They said, you front rank. I didn't know what that was. But then there I knew because I was big and, you know, I wasn't this big, but I was bigger. I was big for my age. I'm big for my age now. But the Spirit of God is the referee in our lives. And we were nobody and we were formless. We had no spiritual substance. There was nothing to us. We hate being told this, but I'm going to tell you because it's true. We were empty. We were dead. We were lifeless. The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. We were in darkness. We were in the kingdom of darkness. I was in the kingdom of darkness. So were you. So were you. In the kingdom of darkness. With no hope. No hope. Nothing good grew in me. Nothing. Because there was no sun in my life. Nothing good grew. And I was in a bottomless pit. Thinking I was doing great. And then Jesus found me. And Jesus found you. And he began to work in you. And he begins to put us together like the earth was formed. He put it all together. And he made it like it should be. And then if you read the Genesis chapter, it's beautiful. Everything should produce after its own kind. I just love those words. You produce, made the fruit trees. They produce peaches. You get peaches. Apples, you get apples. You plant apple tree, you get apples. If you plant Christian, you should get Christians. What happens if they plant you? What happens if The Spirit takes the seed that's in you now and plants you. What's going to grow? What will grow? Ask yourself. What am I going to produce? Am I going to produce fruit in keeping with the repentance that Jesus calls for? And now I want the gifts, brother. No. You must first have the Spirit of God begin to sanctify you, teach you His ways, help you understand. Amen? The Holy Spirit is always referred to, as I said just now, as God. As God. He's a person. He's got feelings. Jesus, when that woman came to him, and you've used it a lot, and he said, "Who touched me?" And you know why she spurked? Because with the bleeding, she shouldn't have been in public. And the Jewish way was, if you're in public and you've got an issue of blood, you get stoned. Not stoned, you know, stoned. You die. And so she didn't want to own up because it was her. But Jesus saw her. He felt something. The Bible says he felt something leave him. She was the one. But she pressed through. She didn't care. She said, "I'm going to go for it." And he's a person. He's instrumental in making the heavens and the earth, forming the worlds, and also making us into living souls. I thought about it this morning in our meeting. I thought, isn't it amazing? We come from all walks of life, all ages, all shapes, all sizes, all colors. And we arrive here on a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. For what? Where in the world do people come out on a Sunday afternoon to go into a building and watch the worship leader dance around wherever he is and do his thing, and everybody's going, and then you all sit up? Why do we do that? Because God found us. Because he found us. And he's put in us the life of the Spirit. The life of the Spirit. And it cannot be likened to anything in the world. Nothing. It is unique. Completely, totally unique. He is the power of God personified. I said to you just now, the Spirit always works with the Word that is in us. If you want to be used by God, you must get the Word into you. Go to John, just show John chapter 16, verse 12 to 15. I did give you that one, I think. He says this, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear." Jesus talking to the disciples. 13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine." That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. What is Jesus's in my life? What belongs to him? I belong to him, but it's the Word in me that the Spirit uses and enlightens me about how to live. I'm sure all of you have had experiences when you're speaking to somebody and a verse pops into your head. Have you done that? Or you've been speaking to somebody and you leave them, and as you walk away, a verse pops into your head. You're like, "Oh, why didn't I think of that?" Have you had that? And that's because we've got the Word in us. You must get the Word into your being. Not just to have the Word in your being, because you know Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, whenever. I remember I could recite them. Then somebody said, "Waste of space, bro. The Bible's got an index." Good point. I thought I was being so smart. Can you quote the books of the Bible? I could quote Psalm 23. Could quote Psalm 121. I knew the shortest verse in the Bible. What's it? Where is it? You see, I didn't even know why he wept. But I knew it. John 11:35. Jesus wept. I didn't know why. Because I didn't have the life of the Spirit of God in me, enlightening me to show me. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? What's the next line? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. He will not let my foot suffer, let me stumble, whatever, I can't remember. Now, when I read it, I think, ah, I get it. I see it. Because when I preach now, when I read the book now, then God gives me revelation. Paul prayed for the Ephesians in chapter 1. He said this. He said, I pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Paul's praying for them, saying that he'll give you that spirit of wisdom and revelation so you know him. You know Jesus better. The Spirit will make you understand who Jesus is. He brings the life. He brings the life. The believer can be immersed in and filled with him. Did you know that? Who's not filled with the Spirit? Hallelujah. This is going to be a good night. This is going to be a good night. A friend of mine was preaching once and he was so excited about preaching, about being filled with the Spirit. He got excited and he said, you must be spilled with a ferret. And people laughed and he didn't know what he had said. And he said it again. You must be spilled with a ferret. You must be filled with the Spirit. Yeah. The Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit came upon certain people at certain times for certain tasks. This is what it says in Judges chapter 14, verse 6 about Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. So he tore the line apart. Now, when you think of Samson, do you think of a big muscular guy? We do. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us that he was or he wasn't. He might have been a skinny little guy like Philip from our congregation in the morning, who just catches fish for a living. He might have been, but the Spirit of God came upon him, yeah. Empowered him. In the Old Covenant, that's what they got, power to do things. In 1 Samuel 10:10, it says this, the Spirit, when they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met with him. The Spirit of God came upon him, that's Samuel, and it says, and he joined in their prophecy. The Spirit of God came upon him, and suddenly he had the gift of prophecy. 1 Samuel 16:13, it says about David. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. So David was empowered for things he did for the occasion when he needed it. The Spirit didn't come to stay. He visited old covenant saints for when they needed his empowering. When David faced Goliath, you know what he said? He said, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? Who are you? I come against you in the name of the Lord my God. Now, he was talking like he knew the anointing. But he knew. He had fought the lion and the bear because the Spirit of God had come upon him. And when that stone hit Goliath here in the forehead, Goliath's last words were, no, I won't go there. He said, something like that never entered my head before. He was a dead man. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In the new covenant, he comes to abide. He comes to stay. He comes to abide. He comes to stay. This is what it says in John chapter 1, verse 32 and 34. If they're favorite verses, these are some of my favorite verses in the Bible. John the Baptist. The Baptists love us when we call him John the Baptist. The Bible doesn't call him John the Baptist. They call him John. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him. That is a remarkable statement. He would not have known. Except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. John would have known Jesus. He must have known him because he said, hey, the son of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But he wouldn't have known because unless the one who told him that you, or the one on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain. The Spirit came to stay because what? Jesus was going to go back to the heavens. He's here now. He's here now. Like Mike Davies preached the other morning, and he said, I don't know why we don't see more demons manifesting in our meetings. They're here. Yeah. Jesus set a new standard for us. John 14, 16, 18. Look at those verses. And I will ask the Father. Now he's talking to his disciples. He's been baptized in the Spirit, Jesus. He didn't do one miracle before his baptism in water. And after his baptism in water, I like Mark's depiction of it. The Bible says, Mark says, and he saw heaven being torn open. The eagerness of the Holy Spirit to come upon the Son. Because he knew he's going to come and empower him. To do what? To do the works. To do the works. No miracles. No miracles for 30 years. Then he gets empowered. Sure. And then they had a party. The first miracle, he turns all that water, that water into wine. I mean, he could have gone to a graveyard and raised a few dead guys. No, we're going to have a party. I say, we can party. Because Jesus turns water into wine. And don't tell me it was grape juice. This group, and I'm not going to point it, this group over there, the conservatives, they say it was grape juice. And I remember when I got saved, arguing with them and saying, no, but the Bible makes out as though they'd had enough to drink. It says, no, they were full. I said, no, they were tipsy. They had to be. Why do you bring the good stuff out last, bro? That's what they were saying. This last stuff, this is good stuff. Why do you bring that last? Jesus turned water into wine. Just put that back up again. I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. I've come to stay. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him for he lives with you and will be in you. Whew. I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Do you know an orphan has parents? Everybody has a parent. Orphans have parents. They just don't know who their parents are. And do you know your Father in heaven? Jesus said, I won't leave you as an orphan. I will introduce you to your Father in heaven. How am I going to get introduced to my Father? By the Spirit. Supernatural happening. My Father in heaven. My late wife had a very discombobulated, great word for me. I looked it up in the dictionary. I even know how to say it. I don't know what it means. It sounds good. Discombobulated. No, it means complicated. Sorry? It's a good word. Her mother was twice divorced. Her father was a lovely man, but he was an alcoholic. She never knew him as a dad. Her mom married again, and the stepdad didn't like her. So he sent her away to a boarding school. And one day we were traveling through a little town called Underberg, going to a New Covenant conference in the southern Drakensberg. And as we drove into the town, there's a school on your right, and there's trees. And she suddenly said, stop, stop, stop. What? I thought she'd dropped her knitting, you know. Dropped a stitch, pulled over. She said to me, I came to school here. I said, don't be stupid, Viv. What are you talking about? And the memory that she'd buried, the Spirit of God brought back to her. And she said, I stood one day in these trees at a holiday, and the matron in the hostel said to me, your dad is coming to fetch you. And he never did. And so she had to spend the holiday in the hostel with the matron because her stepdad said, well, I'm not fetching her either. Because it's his job, her proper dad, to fetch her. So she, and that hurt, that aina, she carried with her, but she buried it. She buried it. And we drove in, and suddenly the Spirit awakened her to it. so we could pray. She could release them, release her dad, release her stepdad. She wasn't angry, but when she met the Lord, I remember thinking, she's got this father thing. And she got the father thing because she didn't have a father who was good and was decent and real. When she met my dad, who was an old farmer, she thought he was amazing. I was telling you this. I took my girlfriend home for the weekend, lived in Queenstown. My parents lived in Grahamstown. I took her home for the weekend, going to introduce her. And, quite happy now. So Friday night, we get there, and she meets the family. And we go to bed, and my dad says to me, as I'm going to bed, he said, I want to see you in the milking in the morning. Gee, that's odd. You know, I'm working now. I don't milk anymore. You know, milk by hand cows. So I said, are the guys a little bit, you know, they've been a bit of a party. No, no, he said, I just want to talk to you. So next morning early, he comes and he wakes me, we have coffee, and off we go to the cow shed. And we're standing, leaning over the fence, watching the cows piddle and poop and get milked. And he says to me, do you like her? So I said, yeah, I really do. And he said, well, I just want to tell you, so do I. And I thought, why do you bring me to the cow shed to tell me that? But that's what some guys do. Take me to the cow shed. Just tell me. Talk to me in the lounge, in the cow shed. What are you telling me? And she connected with him because she didn't have father. And he will take from what is his, Jesus said, and make it known. He'll make the Father known to you. That's the work of the Spirit.